The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to the show today. I've got a very thoughtful person with me on the show, Dr. Gary Bolhauer. He's the author of several books, but the one we're going to focus on today is called Choosing Wisely, Practical Insights from Spiritual Traditions. You know, we make many decisions in a day. Some of them are small, some are big. But I wonder how many of us have really taken time to think about the criteria we choose to make those decisions. And as I read this book, I could see clearly that Gary has done just that. And I began to have a greater, as I read the book, respect, I guess I would say, for the process and an awareness of how, you know, without really thinking about it, I will often use some of the criteria in the book. But I think the operative phrase here is without really thinking about it. So today, we're going to talk about that process and learn how to be perhaps a little bit more pragmatic without being too pragmatic, if you know what I mean. I think it's helpful to, it has been helpful to me to read this book and to bring that without really thinking about it phrase into awareness and begin to think actually more pragmatically so that nothing gets missed. And at the same time, what also gets honored are the things that are less measurable. And we'll be talking about that with Gary, because I think that's one of the most outstanding things about this book is its balance. It's a very balanced approach. So before I begin the interview, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Bread for the Journey and who we are and what we stand for. We're a 25-year-old organization that is a nonprofit that whose vision is to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. And you know, there are lots of ways that we, and there are lots of people in the world who are really working towards nurturing generosity. And the way that we have chosen is that we empower small groups of people in cities all around the country to start a small nonprofit organization that raises a little bit of money locally and gives a little bit of money away locally to people who are doing things that make the community a better place. We work primarily with volunteers. There are only two of us that are paid staff members here at Bread for the Journey, and we've got 120 volunteers nationwide, 26 chapters in 26 cities. And, you know, we give them nonprofit status with the IRS, and they become a chapter of our organization. So there's a chapter of Bread for the Journey in Sonoma County. There is one in San Francisco. In different cities, Bread for the Journey of the city name. And, you know, we give them nonprofit status with the IRS. We tell them how to raise money and give it away in a really organic, relationship-centered way. We give them a website so that they can let the community know who they are and what it is they're doing, and they can take in donations there. And then the work becomes for them to aside from the practical aspects of this, you know, raising money from people they know who care about them, pooling it together, and then finding people in the community, they also then do the deeper work of how to give that money away with no strings attached, how to find a way to connect with those people who are doing good things in the world that isn't about paper. We don't even allow written grant proposals. We'll meet with people in person and just have them tell us in their own words what problem they see in the community and where the wisdom is that resides in that community that can help solve that problem and how they intend to go about doing it. So it's really a beautiful program, and I hope that if you're curious enough, you will go to our website, breadforthejourney.org, learn a little bit more about what it is we do, make a contribution if you like. We certainly could use it. Join us in any other way. Perhaps you want to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey, or if you've got any other unique way of being involved, you can make contact with me and we can have a conversation. So that's who we are at Bread for the Journey. And the reason we have a radio show is that we wanted to let more people know about what it was we were doing. And we thought the way to do that was to kind of go deeply with the kinds of people who we give grants to. Not everybody I interview is somebody to whom we've given a grant, but many of them are. And all of them are what I consider to be ordinary people doing extraordinary things in the world. And of course, that's the name of our show, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things. And so now I'd like to introduce you to one of those extraordinary people, Dr. Gary Bolhauer. He's a professor of theology and religious studies at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota, where he teaches courses in ethics, spirituality, living, dying, and grieving, servant leadership, and global leadership and ethics. He's been an educator for over 40 years as a high school teacher, college professor, chair of humanities, dean of lifelong learning, dean of graduate studies, and vice president for academic affairs. He was the co-founder and executive director of the Center for Spirituality and Leadership at Marion University in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And he's consulted with a broad range of organizations on values integration, the respectful workplace, mission and vision, and team collaboration. He has facilitated executive development programs on dialogue, authentic leadership, professional ethics, and wise decision making. He's the author of numerous scholarly articles and has given over 600 presentations across the U.S. and in France, England, Turkey, Mexico, Italy, Spain, and Canada. His recent books include Choose Wisely, Practical Insights from Spiritual Traditions. As you know, that's the one we'll be talking about today. His other books are Mountain 10, Climbing the Labyrinth Within, and Marrow Muscle Flight Poems, which won the Midwest Book Award in Poetry in 2011. Welcome, Gary. So happy to have you on the show.
It's such a pleasure to be on the show, Mariana. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I've thought so much about decision-making this past week as I read your book, and I'm a person who really relies on her gut to make decisions. And obviously, you know, I'm operating from some of my assumptions or my limited view of something. And if I'm lucky, perhaps some amount of inner wisdom or inner guidance. Sometimes I make a snap decision that's actually a reaction to something and later, you know, have some second thoughts about that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book?
Well, the reason is because all of us need to try to make better decisions in the world. We're making lots of decisions every day. Many of them have tremendous impact, have real consequences in the lives of other people. Sometimes we don't even know that. Recently, I gave a presentation, there was a person in the room. When I arrived at the room where I was supposed to be giving the workshop, and the person shook my hand and said, I don't know if you remember me, but you've changed my life. And I said, what's your name? And, you know, and it was a person that I had been on a panel of respondents to this person's paper as an undergraduate student. And they were giving a paper at a local college, and I encouraged them and affirmed their insights. And it really meant something to this person. But I had no sense that the way in which I was acting that day, how I was engaging with this young man, would have a significant impact on him. This has happened over and over again in various ways, I think, in all of our lives. So we really make up our life moment by moment, decision by decision. We have an opportunity to live out our values, that core of who we are, to make it come alive, to embody it in the world. We have a real sense in which our vocation happens decision by decision. You know, at some point in my life, I said, you know, I really want to be in this great work of education, and it's been a tremendously joyous work for me all of my life. But that's not the real vocational decision. The calling to be an educator is something that I hear every day when I'm listening to my students, when I'm listening to my own yearning to do something better, when I'm responding to somebody who's offering ideas about a new book that they're writing or that they're reading. So we really live our lives decision by decision. We have an opportunity to make our lives decision by decision. And I think all of us are trying to do that as well as we can. What Choose Wisely does is it tries to make that a little bit more conscious, a little bit more intentional, to think about this process of how am I going about making decisions. And often, you know, when I talk with my students and colleagues, there's an emphasis on differences, on all of the ways in which we are different from culture to culture, from religion to religion, from family to family, etc. But in this book, I began to really explore the commonalities. The wisdom traditions of the world offer us a very profound common ground for practice and right action in the world. Even though there are radical differences in how we understand God and how we understand the afterlife and the kinds of rituals and traditions we have, when it comes down to practice, the common wisdom traditions of the world give us some principles that are really in agreement across the world, across our human experience. So I'm less sure about any one dimension of this model that I'm presenting in Choose Wisely than I am about the need for each of us to try to be more intentional and conscious, to really to stay awake as we go through life, as we make our decisions, to make them intentionally with as much reflection as we can.
You know, yeah, as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, this process really involves being present. When you were talking about the moment-by-moment decisions and how in your story, you know, you had, according to this man, changed his life.
Right.
Your decision that you made in that moment, whatever it was, that so impacted his life, or maybe even series of decisions, really asks of you to be awake each moment. Not, I don't think that you need to be aware of, you know, the impact of everything that you're doing, but actually, as I think about your 5 points, and we'll talk about them on the show, being aware of those things as you move through the world and being present in the moment helps you move through that world, as you say, being awake.
Right, right. There's that wonderful quotation by Rumi, you know, the breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep.
Right.
You must ask for what you really want. Don't
right.
go back to sleep.
Right.
People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes I find, as you mentioned, Mariana, I've made a decision that's really a reaction. It's not a response.
Right, right.
And sometimes I find myself taking the wrong exit because I was on my default going back home rather than going to where I was supposed to be going,
you know.
So, we do this in lots of different ways where we sort of react rather than, as you say, really inhabit the moment. Try to be as present as we can, recognizing the value of other persons, recognizing the interconnectedness of all of us, recognizing some common foundational principles that help us be present and that help us when we're taking a longer time. I mean, sometimes we've got a while to make a decision, an important decision, and we have some time to consider alternatives and options and to really do some weighing of possible consequences. Sometimes we don't. But wherever we are, however the decision needs to be made, we have to be as conscious and as awake as we can be.
Right. Beautifully said. Thank you so much. And we've got to take a break. So to our listening audience, please stay with us. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
How do you know if you're living with an addict? If you think you know all the recognizable signs, you probably don't. If you're listening to and reading from the so-called experts, you probably don't. You need to hear from a parent, just like yourself, who has been there and can tell you what it's like firsthand. Please listen to Afflicted by Addiction with Bradley DeHaven. Our program is heard every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. It just might save your life or the life of someone you love.
9 different energy systems make up the energy body. Energy is all around us and connects us. Energy exerts a major control over our biology and is a big reason why you should be tuning in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health. With your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. We'll explore energy balance techniques, tips, and patterns to keep your flow of energy optimal to maintain maximal health. By adopting these techniques, you will keep your energy body and physical body in harmony. Listen for Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Health and Wellness. Adoption changes a family forever. For the adopters as well as the adoptees, there are many adjustments that need to be made, from lifestyle to financial, and the personal rewards are unlimited. Listen every week for Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. We will examine in detail such topics as international and domestic adoption. We will talk with adoption professionals and hear stories about real families adopting. If you've been thinking about adoption or recently began the process, you'll want to tune in to be inspired every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying. We're here talking to Dr. Gary Bolhauer about his book, Choosing Wisely, Practical Insights from Spiritual Traditions. And we've been talking about being present and awake, and I think that's probably going to be a theme all the way through our conversation today. Because I think it applies to every single one of the principles that you talked about. There's something, you wrote this. The process of personal growth requires this paradoxical attention to weaknesses and strengths, accomplishments and failures, terrain already traveled, and edges yet to be explored. Can you explain more about what you mean by this?
Well, mature living over and over again means living in the paradox. You know, it's this recognition that we have great gifts, and at the same time, we've got some shadows, we've got some weaknesses, we have some areas that need development. It's recognizing that sometimes we make mistakes, we make grievous errors, and yet there's resilience, there's hope, there's the opportunity to step into forgiveness with another person in that relationship. So we're this mixture, right? And to be mature, I think, to be spiritually mature, humanly mature, is to live in that paradox, holding those two things, these sort of polar opposites that are part of us, holding them gently, holding them, recognizing that it is only in both of those poles of our being, if you will, that we are truly who we are and aware of who we are. So paradox is one of the common themes that I find in this educational process of looking at our continuing development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that this piece around what, you know, paying attention to both of those, you know, what you said, it sort of requires a kind of maturity. You know, it's so easy to begin to look at your weaknesses and then sort of slide into perhaps a tendency to have a lack of confidence. And then you kind of throw away the baby with the bathwater. You say, I can't do this. I've always been like this. And then you fall down into that hole. Or at the other end of the spectrum, if you're just sort of looking at all of your successes, then you operate from a kind of imbalanced ego and overconfidence, if you will, about yourself, that then has you making decisions that are kind of can be hurtful to other people and hurtful to yourself.
Right. So again, it's recognizing that balance, and you know, it's important to understand one's strengths, one's gifts and talents, the contributions that one can make. And yet, I think we need to do important work throughout our lives in terms of our shadow side, and getting that out in front of ourselves so that we can recognize. You know, the best thing that happens to me is I catch myself before I react. That doesn't happen a lot, but as I continue to mature, I think that's the process. So I recognize my strengths and my gifts. I try to live them out. I try to appreciate those in myself and bring them forward. And at the same time, I'm aware of those kinds of reactive elements within me. And so that living in the paradox is a critical part of mature spiritual life.
Yeah. So there are five principles that you speak of. I'm just going to name them. The first one is respect all persons. The second one is appreciate the wholeness of being human. The third one is recognize the interconnectedness of all reality. The fourth is value inner wisdom and personal experience. And the fifth is attend to preservation and transformation. And these are the five common elements among the varied spiritual traditions that can help us in choosing wisely. And we're going to create two shows from this interview. And today, I think we'll begin with the first and the second. I think that we'll be able to explore those with some real spaciousness. And so I'd like to perhaps just start right into the first one, which is respect all persons. Does that feel good to you, or did you like to say something more, sort of an overview about all five?
Well, number one, I would want to say that these really are common foundational principles throughout the religious traditions, the spiritual traditions, the humanistic traditions of the world. If we look closely, we find these principles sort of bubbling to the top over and over and over in the broad wisdom traditions across the world, across cultures. So again, these principles are foundational. I'm not saying that these are the only ones. Certainly, I think there are several more. But I think these five at least give us a good place to start in terms of how do we go about deciding what's good, what's right, what builds up the human community or what destroys it. How can we be attentive to the preciousness of persons as we go about this process, whether it's individually, personally making decisions or making decisions in our organizations, because the decisions of our organizations need to be attentive to these principles as well. We can't any longer allow organizations to be focused only on profit. Frankly, that's not good enough. Organizations have to also be focused on how they're dealing with their people, how they're being good stewards of the world that we're a part of. So these principles in general apply both personally and organizationally. They're not the only five, but I see them as five good ones to start with.
Well, they've been really stimulating my thinking as I have read them this week. And so let's just dive right in and begin with respect all persons. Gary, why don't you start with just giving a synopsis of this principle and why it's so important?
Again, it's a central thread throughout the writings and practices of religions throughout the world and spiritual traditions throughout the world. This sense that persons are precious. This is really the foundation for the human community. It's what makes us different than all of the other animals. It's what brings up for us this question about how do we decide what's good, what's right, what we should do, what we ought to do. Only in this particular human species do we ask this kind of question. do we have this deep sense of the value of persons as persons? Not because you can do something for me, not because you're pretty or beautiful, not because you have particular gifts or intellect, but simply because you are a person, you are valuable. You are to be respected, to be seen, to be heard. Now, in our decision making, we have to ask ourselves, how do we respond to this preciousness of persons? How do we take into account the different perspectives that persons bring? How do we deeply listen to those differences and the commonalities, to the particular wisdom that comes from each of our stories? How can we enlarge the listening process so that our decision isn't based on a narrow perception of reality, but a broadened perception of reality? So these are some of the things that we begin to explore in that respect all persons principle.
So listening is a very big part of this, correct?
Very big, right.
Yeah, yeah.
How do we listen to a diversity of stakeholders, within an organization? How do we listen to the diverse people that are part of our lives? Even if we're making what seems to be a very personal decision, we might ask ourselves, how do we open ourselves to a diversity of perspectives so that we're really not just narrowly confined in our own set of assumptions, and we're open to a broader sense of knowing. You know, when we listen, listening really has two benefits. It benefits we who are listening because our perspective is broadened. We have more information. We're able to see things in a different way. But also importantly, when we listen to someone, they are getting that powerful message that they're important, that they're being heard, they're valued, their voice, their perspective matters. The root meaning of the word respect comes from the Latin, which means to see again. So when we listen, we really see a person again. We allow their perspective to be heard, to be recognized. And that's powerful stuff. It'd be hard to do anything more important in one's life than to give another a sense of their precious value as a person.
You know, there are several things that come to mind as we talk about this being seen. In my book, I wrote a book called Being There for Someone in Grief, and it's really a book about how to be a companion to the people we love who are grieving somebody or something, a dream lost, a person dying, their own losses in life, perhaps because of an illness. In creating the book, I created an acronym to help people remember, because people often feel like they don't have what it takes to be there for somebody. And I wanted to make it as simple as I could. I mean, it's not always easy, but I wanted to make it simple. And I created this acronym called SALT, as in the salt of tears. And S, which I think was paramount, is to see them. And in the book, it sort of just talks about stopping all of the whatever is going on in our own head to the degree that we really can, and see who it is that you're sitting with, the way they show up in this very moment, and how that really validates what their experience is. It makes real, in a very powerful way, what it is they're going through. It helps them actually see themselves. And the other thing that comes to mind is it was it was a moment of watching TV. It was Oprah Winfrey's last show. And she said something so very profound that I actually, you know, recorded it and went back and wrote it down. She said this: "I've talked to 30,000 people on this show, and all 30,000 had one thing in common. They all wanted validation. Every single person you ever meet shares that common dream. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you? Understanding that one principle has allowed me to hold this microphone for you all these years. It's helped me to stand and try to do that with an open mind and an open heart with the least amount of judgment. It has worked for this platform, and it will work for yours. Try it with your children. I see you. I hear you. What you say matters to me." I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. So I know for me, just even growing up in the world as a child, there were times when my parents, it felt as if what they were trying to do was sort of make me into the image of a good little girl, whatever that was in their mind. And in the process, I was lost. I felt like I wasn't seen. And so I think it's as profound. I mean, even as she said in this quote, try it with your children, I think this is as profound a thing that can happen one-on-one with our lovers, with our children, with our parents, with our siblings, with even the person at the grocery store, as well as in, and much harder to do, in large organizations. But this, I think, is paramount to respecting a person.
Yes, this is an absolutely foundational principle for making good decisions, to see others, to not just consider our own perspective, our own needs, our own wants, but to recognize that there is real value in every other person in our organization, in every other person in our family, in every other person amongst our extended family. You know, whatever the situation is, to begin that decision-making process with the recognition that what I'm attempting to do here is make a decision that really recognizes and respects the preciousness of all of us, that really takes into account the differences in perspective, that sees that each of us, you know, is our own story, our own precious story. Here's one of the poems that I use in this part of the book on respect for all persons. My grandfather was both a comfort and a mystery to me. He spoke only Dutch. I mostly intuited what he was saying. I spent a good bit of time with him, mostly watching him work. He was gruff and tender at the same time, demanding in his own way and yet forgiving. And somehow I knew that there was a complex story there that I didn't know all the pieces of. Here's a little piece of the story. It's called Splinters of Lightning. He didn't speak English, but he could do anything, it seemed to me, especially in his tar-papered tool shed with its dirt floor so you were always standing on the earth. White thick hair just long enough to stand straight and stiff, square jaw, eyebrows like tumbling whitecaps. He chased the children out of his plum tree with a hatchet, shouting at them in Dutch, the sharp blade gleaming. Every blade was sharp. knife, axe, sickle, spade tip even, every blade honed to the perfect edge on his grinding stone. Nothing was more wondrous to me than the way he sharpened things, the perfect rhythm of the shuttle, the whir of the round stone, the sound of the two hard worlds, one grinding the other to a useful edge, the sparks flying off like splinters of lightning. Every few weeks, the blades would have to be set right again, a slow wearing away of their bodies so they could do their work. I can remember only one day when he wouldn't let me in, when I stood in the cold outside the shed, listening to the wheel turn, the terrible clash of hard worlds. It was in early January, and the day before, we had taken our skates off their hooks in the attic where they waited to cut a perfect arc in the ice. Why not let me in to see the playful skates sharpened to their most graceful edge? He wouldn't answer, but Mother told me. After he came to the new world, he had a daughter, his youngest child, born like a promise in America. And on Christmas Day, he gave her fine leather skates with shining blades like the ones he wore on the canals in the old country. But she never put her feet in them. She died on a cold, cold day in early January. I never knew the whole story of my grandfather until my mom told me that. And often when we're making decisions with people in our organizations, even with members of our own family and relatives and friends, we don't know the whole story. There's always a part that's mystery. So when we make decisions, how do we respect even the part of the story that we don't know?
That was an incredible, beautiful story and poem. And I'd like to talk a little bit more with you and about this subject. We've got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Do you know that over 70% of Americans with severe disabilities are unemployed? Are you one of the 2.5 million Americans with epilepsy? If you are, or know someone struggling with these issues, tune in to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. On the show, Joyce will discuss these issues as well as others. She will have on nationally known guests that will offer helpful insight on disability matters and let you, the listener, call in with your questions and concerns. So if you struggle with a disability or know someone who does, listen to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. Heard every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on VoiceAmerica.com.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson, in The Sea Around Us, said, "All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth.
Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back to our final segment in this first show with Dr. Gary Bolhauer. Please rest assured, we're going to have him on again next week, and we'll continue this discussion about his really incredible book, Choosing Wisely, Practical Insights from Spiritual Traditions. And I loved that poem, Gary, and I felt like I got a window into, well, it was actually seeing, fully seeing, and I appreciated how we don't know the whole story of somebody. That doesn't stop us from seeing who they are. We'll never know the whole story. And it kind of leads us actually very nicely, I think, into the next principle, which is appreciate the wholeness of being human. And I wonder if you can perhaps begin by giving us a synopsis of this principle. What do you mean by appreciate the wholeness of being human?
This is a challenging process in our decision-making to really give ourselves time and space to be completely human. That means to recognize the dimensions of who we are and to bring those to the decision-making process. We tend, in our Western society especially, to take a very rational approach to decision-making. We weigh options and try to measure the possibilities and consequences. We mostly use our rational mind. But we have to also be attentive. If we're going to make good decisions, we have to really intentionally bring into consideration our values, our intuition. We have to use, I think, if we're going to begin to make better decisions in our personal and organizational lives, we're going to need to spend some time in silence, in reflection. Sometimes it's taking a walk in the woods or even listening to a piece of music and ruminating or taking a little bit of time to journal. These are different ways of getting at not just the head, but the heart of who we are. And we need to bring that heart and head into the decision-making process if we're going to do it well.
So, you know, you talk about this, there are two operating principles that you use for this, that you talk about in the wholeness of being human. The first one is explore all the ways of human knowing, and the second one is make room for this silence, which you've just talked about. So when you say explore all the ways of human knowing, what do you mean by that?
Well, we know things through our reason, but we also know things through intuition. You know, this is pretty standard. Most of the great discoveries have been made not because people have followed an algorithm or some kind of very, very logical, rational sequence, but through some kind of intuition. One of the examples I use in the book is the example of Barbara McClintock. She was Nobel Prize winner, first woman to be elected president of the Genetics Society of America. And her discoveries in the field of genetics were absolutely groundbreaking. She demonstrated genetic recombination, the mechanism for chromosomal information exchange or jumping genes. But she did that because she was a tremendously precise researcher. She filled cabinets and shelves with data, and she used her intuition. There were actually peers who thought she was a little crazy because she would often say things like, well, you have to sort of lean into the corn. You have to hear what the material has to say to you. You have to be open to the genes and let it come to you. You have to have a feeling for the organism. So that doesn't sound very scientific, you know, but great discoveries and, I would say, good decisions are made when we're open to all of the ways of human knowing, when we're attentive to what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our gut, and what's going on in our head. Right. If we just, if we just do everything from, from the chin up, so to speak, we're missing a lot of what's really important and how we really know. I mean, even the neuroscience is talking more and more about the network of the brain, if you will, that surrounds the heart and surrounds the gut. So these are real ways of knowing, of coming to understand things. And when we're making decisions, we have to intentionally, again, use reason, but get in touch with our heart and with our gut.
Yeah, I find that as we are becoming more and more of an educated society, I'm not so sure that we're teaching this wholeness in schools and in our and even often in our homes. We tend to, or we seem to be moving like in a direction that we gets sort of using the rational part of the brain. And I'm so encouraged to be listening to you as an educator bring such attention to this. Are you seeing it happening more and more in educational environments where this wholeness is being addressed?
I see the opposite. Mm-hmm. I see us, when it comes to educational cuts, the first things that get cut are often art, music, the fine arts in general. We tend to be more and more focused on standardized testing. Right. I think you're correct. I think that there's a real decrease in attention to these other ways of knowing. And we have a real challenge, especially again in our Western society, to nurture these other ways of knowing, because only when we do can we really live out our core values. Because we know our values not so much through our head. It's important that they be there and that we, plan and organize and systematize. Mm-hmm. But our core values are ultimately in our heart, right. And we have to access that heart space if right. we're going to make good decisions.
Right.
And I think, as you mentioned, this is particularly challenging in organizations where I think there often isn't room for that kind of question. What are right. What are we feeling about this? How do the values of our organization really relate to this decision that we're making?
Right. Well, this is a really rich place for us to perhaps begin to think about what we can talk about in our next session, because we've run out of time for this show. And I am so incredibly grateful to you, Gary. This has been a really stimulating conversation. And to our listening audience, we will be doing this again next week. So I hope you'll return and continue this conversation with us. Gary, thank you so much.
And thank you, Mariana. It's a real pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just wrap it up by saying, you know, as you know, Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization. Our website is breadforthejourney.org. And I will close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.